IL, you're clean now. What happened is in the past. We have a brand new future to look forward to.
Pushing me under the spray, his hands trailed over every inch as he rinsed away the soap. Cuddling me into him, his embrace reeked of contempt for Penn and lust for me, a recipe that would end up ruining me.
Are you hungry?
He kissed my wet scalp.
Come on, let's eat. And then we'll get to know each other exactly the way we should have years ago.
Chapter 6. Penn. I parked at the top of the long, sweeping driveway that disappeared into dense trees. A stupid carved lumberjack with an axe and overalls, decorated with peeling paint, offered me a mailbox to place friendly correspondence, not deliver war on the inhabitants. I wanted to hack it to pieces. No lights glimmered apart from the fresh pink of dawn. No signs of habitation apart from recent tire tracks down the gravel. But I knew. They're here. Leaving my MRS, I grabbed my phone and jogged down the driveway. I wanted to sneak up and surprise Greg, rather than drive and give him notice. He'd already taken what was mine. I wouldn't give him the opportunity to hurt her, too. My shoeless feet glided lightly as I ran, trying to make as little noise as possible. Pebbles bruised my soles, but I didn't stop. God damn it, how long is this driveway? The gravel kept going, deeper into woodland. If this wasn't a rescue mission, it would have been a nice place to bring Al. To get away from the city and relax. And by relax, I meant fuck until we both couldn't walk. There was something about her I couldn't fight. When I was around her. Shit, all I could think about was touching, kissing, and being inside her. 3 years worth of blue balls. 3 years of waiting since the first time we met. My gut clenched at the thought of her with Greg. I hadn't been nice or even kind to her ever since I plotted the moment in the gin bar with her father. Everything about our convenient fate-designed meetings had been meticulously planned. I hadn't let my guard down once. I'd taken what I wanted from her, as I believed she owed me that after what had happened. But now, I felt fucking sick that I could be such a bastard, especially since she'd been taken by someone she trusted, all while being lied to by me. I was an asshole. I admit it. The sky slowly grew lighter as a cabin appeared in the forest, a small clearing with a homely retreat nestled in the foliage. Greg's car sat out front with the twinkling of dew on the gray paint. My heart raced, preparing for a fight. Keeping to the trees, I skirted the front porch, making my way to the side. Ducking low, I charged toward the house and pressed against the timber sidings. Twigs jammed into my bare feet, but I ignored the pain. A bay window sat above me, taunting me to look. My ears strained for noise, for footsteps or voices. When nothing came, no creak of floorboards, no flush of water, I stood upright and peered into the dim cabin. Birds slowly woke up, their morning song the only sound apart from my shallow breathing. The window looked into the kitchen. The kitchen opened out into a living room. The living room funneled traffic to the hallway. Empty. Every room. No signs of life at all. Shit, where are you, Elle? Moving around the property, I peered into more windows, searching. The bedroom with plaid blankets. Nothing. The office with overflowing bookshelves. No one. The side living room with an ancient video cassette player and TV. Empty. Moving toward the front porch again, I forced myself to remain calm, even while I fought panic. Joe gave me this address. Greg's car was here, yet him and Elle were gone. Fuck. Leaping off the stoop, I continued my hunt. My eyes caught the displacement of gravel. Footsteps. One big with boot tracks. One small with no tracks. Was Elle barefoot? Like me? My feet had not appreciated the jog down gravel or looked forward to the pokes and pinches from more twigs in the forest. Knowing she'd felt the same discomfort didn't make me happy. It made me fucking furious. Clutching my phone, I followed the prints into the trees, willing the sun to wake up completely and chase away the remaining shadows. I hadn't had quality sleep. I'd been beaten awake as my alarm clock, and twitched on an overload of adrenaline and rage, but my hands were steady, if not bloody, and my eyes were narrowed, if not bloodshot. I was ready to attack. No mercy. Breaking into a jog, I followed the small path, hoping against fucking hope that Greg hadn't marched her into the undergrowth to shoot and bury her. Images of finding her corpse haunted me in ways I couldn't admit. I thought I'd protected myself from her this past month. I thought I'd steeled myself against feeling anything. I'd done a shitty job with the way my heart pounded with terror. I'd wasted so long fantasizing about her being mine, and she'd been mine for a brief moment. If I couldn't have her again, what the fuck would I do? Leave? Say goodbye? How could I? I forced my mind back to the facts rather than idiotic matters of the heart. If Greg had wanted to kill her, why not just do it at Bell-El, somewhere her father would see and destroy the company from the inside out? He's an asshole, but he's not mentally disturbed. Why would he kill her where he could be questioned? Much better to do it where no one would see, and he had a better chance of denying his involvement. Even if this is his father's cabin. Breaking through the tree line, my heart sank as a shed with open doors and an empty interior beckoned me closer. Tire marks led from the gloomy cobwebbed shack, footprints in the dust showing Greg had been here with Elle, and now they were gone.
Chapter 7. Elle.
You know how to cook, right?
Greg asked, twirling the steak knife tip on the countertop. For the 30th time, I tugged on the gold negligee he'd made me slip into. Where he'd gotten it from, I had no idea. It wasn't a Bell-El brand, and the satin slipped over my nakedness in the most awful way. But he'd been extremely insistent I wear it. I hate you, Greg. The spaghetti straps barely held the material over my nipples, while the hem skimmed my ass cheeks, leaving so much of me nude and available for his ogling attention. I stood in the middle of the kitchen, glaring at the knife, wanting so much to pluck it from his hand and plunge it into his leg. I didn't want to kill him, just incapacitate him until I could get free, call David to come and break me out of here, and then press charges like a sane person would. Greg is not sane. You have full reason to join him in that insanity and kill him. I didn't doubt I would if it came down to his life or mine, but call me old-fashioned. I couldn't kill someone I'd known all my life. I couldn't switch off like that. He slammed the knife down.
Better answer me, Elle. I've been kind and gentle, but if you don't start talking to me, I'll have to show a different side of me. Got it?
I planted my hands on the counter, bracing myself. It's not a different side to you. I know that side better than you think. I've seen it in your eyes for years. He grinned.
Great, so you know I'm telling the truth.
I swallowed as he moved toward me and stroked my cheek, his eyes dropping to my chest.
I showered you, dressed you, and now the least you can do is cook us a lovely meal to celebrate our new future together.
I cringed, stepping away from his touch. His face shadowed.
I almost forgot.
Clicking his fingers, he turned and disappeared into the living room, where a duffel bag sat on the couch. Placing the knife on the coffee table, away from my eager fingers, he unzipped the bag and checked the contents. Greg had many faults, but I'd never known him as so meticulous. He'd planned my abduction flawlessly. Clothes for me hung in the wardrobe right alongside clothes for him. The kitchen was stocked with delicacies and staple requirements, and hygiene products such as toothbrushes and toilet paper were in ample supply. The bathroom had been bare when we'd arrived, but that was before he'd returned to the Dodge and emptied the trunk. How long had he been concocting this? How long is he planning to keep me here? Greg returned with the bag, placing it with a loud clunk on the kitchen counter. My hair was still damp from the shower, my skin still warm despite the lack of thermal properties of the skimpy negligee. Once he'd turned off the water, he'd dried me, despite my fight and refusal, then dragged me into the bedroom where he'd shoved the gold satin over my head. He hadn't let me go until I stood in the middle of the kitchen and he'd grabbed the knife. The sharp blade didn't scare me, but the lack of warm clothes and shoes did. Even if I did spy an opportunity to run, I wouldn't get far unless I dressed appropriately. Greg patted the duffel. A smirk spread his lips.
I brought these as a last resort, but after having the convenience of the rope around your wrist, I think they'll come in handy.
Pulling out a leather cuff, the heavy clinking of chains sounded. My mouth shot dry as his bicep bulged, hefting the weight from the bag to the counter. He'd dressed in a white t-shirt with faded jeans, his dark blonde hair swept back, drying from our joint shower, while the odd droplet turned his t-shirt translucent on the shoulders. He looked innocent, familiar. The contents he'd just dumped into view were the exact opposite. I backed away, bumping into the oven. "What the hell is that?" he chuckled.
"Gifts for you, of course."
"I don't want any gifts."
"Believe me, you'll change your mind soon enough."
Unbuckling the leather cuff that attached to the glinting chain, he carried the metal across the living room to a sturdy-looking hook. A fire poker and small shovel hung for cleaning out the ashes in the grate. Removing the poker, he secured the chain and locked it with a small padlock before making his way back toward me, letting the link slip through his fingers to stain the floorboards with imprisonment. The length kept going from the living room to where I stood petrified in the kitchen. Dropping the remaining chain by my feet, he said,
"Until you behave and stop looking at the door to run, I'm going to ensure you stay here with me, okay?"
"No, not okay. You've already squirreled me away where no one can find us." I darted backward, trapped by cabinets. "I don't like being tied up, Greg."
"Too bad."
His eyes narrowed.
"I didn't ask your opinion or permission."
He held up the leather cuff.
"Now come here."
I shook my head, my eyes flickering to the knife on the coffee table over his shoulder. If only I could reach it. "I won't run."
"I know you won't. This system will make sure of it."
He advanced. I pushed harder into the cabinetry but had nowhere else to go. Only a foot separated us. Greg smiled, then dropped to one knee as if to propose. I held my breath, shock and horror crawling over my insides, as he reached for my ankle and latched his heinous fingers around my leg. The moment he caught me, he wrapped the leather cuff around my limb, pulling tight before running the chain through the small hook at the top and securing it with the aid of another padlock. The second I was locked in place, he stood with a triumphant look on his face.
"You should be able to go anywhere you need in the cabin, but not outside."
Returning to the bag, he pulled out another chain, this one shorter with two cuffs on either side instead of one.
"Give me your hands."
"What?"
"Your hands, Al."
"You can't be serious."
"I'm deadly fucking serious."
He came forward, letting one cuff dangle while he reached for my wrist, the one with the rope burns from the stupid twine he'd used. "What the hell is he doing?" "I'm not your prisoner, Greg."
"I beg to differ."
His fingers bit into my arm as he wrapped the cuff around me and once again secured it with a tiny padlock. At least the leather was soft and supple, rather than coarse and prickly. It looked expensive with gold stitching and faux fur trim, not the cheap kink sold at wannabe sex shops. Not that I know what cheap or expensive sex toys look like. A memory of the seahorse and other dildo samples from Loveline reminded me Penn still had my property. He has my underwear, too. At the time, it hadn't bothered me. I thought I'd be back for more sexcapades and he would use the toys on me. But that was before he let me walk home and I was almost molested. Before he scooped me up and washed my feet. before his lies came crashing down and burst into fiery flames. Capturing my other arm, Greg growled as I wriggled and tried to break free.
Stand still.
He grunted as he tucked my arm against his body and circled my other wrist with the last cuff. The soft snick of the fourth padlock shattered my thoughts of strangling him for my freedom.
There, nice and secure.
Greg kissed my forehead, pulling me forward thanks to the looping chain now permanently present. I deliberated punching and kicking and screaming and cursing him. But what would that achieve? My leg was tethered to the fireplace. I was practically naked, and my arms were now joined like an inmate on death row. He wouldn't let me run. He wouldn't let me go. He'd only pay me back if I hurt him, and I already knew how painful his punches could be. My temple throbbed in agreement. Had it only been last night he'd hit me in my apartment garage? It had to have been centuries with how tired and stressed I was. Even the thought of having sex in the limo with Penn didn't affect me the way it had before. The tummy moths were dead, their paper wings dissolved in bile. I'd gone from liking Penn to hating him, and it was exhausting hating two people at the same time for entirely different reasons. Greg released me, inspecting his handiwork.
You look hot in chains.
You'll look hot behind bars when the police catch you.
There'll be no crime once you come around to my way of thinking.
I'll never come around, because I don't want what you do. He chuckled under his breath.
So argumentative. I don't remember you being like that in the past.
I tried to plant my hands on my hips, but the chain wasn't quite long enough. I settled for threading my fingers together and holding tight with all the aggression I wished I could throw at him. That's because you don't know me. You never knew me. You never tried to get to know me. His brow settled angrily over green eyes.
I'm trying now. So give me a goddamn break and give me a chance.
I laughed, rattling the chain in his face. This is not trying. This is kidnapping. Release me.
Still used to barking orders, huh, Al?
He padded barefoot from the kitchen. Hoisting himself onto a bar stool, he added,
I'm hungry. Let's get back to the topic of food.
I moved to face him. Glad that the countertop now separated us, even if he was demanding I cook for him like some slave. I moved my right leg, testing the weight of the chain locking me to the fireplace across the room. God, that's heavy. The metal loops weren't light, nor were they easy to step over or kick away, as I did a small circle, testing how fast I could move. The chain around my wrists was lighter, with just enough room to scoop and handle things, but not enough to stab him with a knife or swing a skillet on his head. My shoulders rolled, finally understanding that this wasn't just a game to him. This was serious. What do you want, Greg? My bravery faltered. Tell the truth. I'm done playing. He slid off the bar stool, came back into the kitchen, and hoisted himself onto the counter in front of me.
I'm glad you're finally ready to be sensible.
His dangling legs thudded against the dishwasher as he pulled another knife from the butcher's block and twirled it tip first again.
But I've told you what I want. You just keep ignoring me.
No, you haven't. I spread my hands, giving him the space to speak. You haven't set your terms. You've merely demanded what you expect. They're different. I did my best to ignore the skimpy nightdress and leather cuffs, draping myself in an imaginary suit with bodyguards and personal assistants ready to do whatever I commanded. Pretend we're in a business negotiation at Bell L. What would you say? He smirked.
I'd say this was a takeover.
A hostile takeover, don't you mean?
No, L, a partnership. A new director of the board buying 51% of the stock, but letting the old manager keep 49%.
Oh, how generous of you. That's not a partnership. It's dictatorship.
Wrong again. It is a partnership, with the smallest amount of authority.
I would never sell Bell L over to him, even if he killed me. The company wasn't mine to give. It was my family's. It belonged to my future children. The Charleston legacy would only go to a man worthy of serving by my side. If it's about the money, I'll give you some. What do you want? A million? Two? He threw his head back, laughing hard.
Oh, I knew your answer was cute, but you're just adorable when you try to bargain with chump change.
A million isn't chump change.
It is to you.
10 million. I pursed my lips. 10 million and you walk away. I flung my hands in the air, hating the weight of the chain and the jingle of the links as I moved. Walk away from this. From me, from Bell-El, and I'll wire the money to you right now.
We don't have reception out here. No Wi-Fi.
Fine. Take me back to the city, and I'll do it there. Where I can call the police, not the bank.
Nice try, El.
He tapped his nose with a sharp blade.
I much prefer our current situation.
Leaping off the counter, he inhaled my neck like a grizzly bear.
10 million is still chump change. You can't buy me off. The only bribe I would accept would be...
He deliberately left me hanging. I hated myself, but I took his bait. Would be...
You.
His eyes flashed.
Marry me. Give me 51% of Bell-El, 50% of the contents of your bank accounts, and then divorce me for all I care.
My eyes flared. You're saying if I married you and gave you half of everything I own, that you'll walk away? He cocked his head.
Maybe.
Maybe isn't an answer I can agree to.
Guess you'll just have to make us dinner and stop trying to barter then, huh?
He ran the knife around my belly button, pressing the gold satin against my skin.
Cook me something, wife-to-be. Then we can finally see if we're as compatible in the bedroom as we are in the boardroom.
We were never compatible in the boardroom. You were never allowed in the boardroom.
Precisely. You were the boss there.
His teeth glinted.
But here in my bed, in my cabin, I'm the boss. And I can't fucking wait to show you what I can do.
Chapter 8. Pen. He's not fucking here. I growled into the phone. Does he have another property? Joe Charleston cleared his throat, the sound of an engine loud on the line.
No, that's the only one that Steve... Everett, is that you?
Steve Hobson's voice replaced Joe's. I envisioned him snatching the phone, either to stand up to me and beg me not to hurt his cocksucker of a son, or help me find the woman who was like a daughter to him. Tell me where I can find him. I paced the woodland where the car tracks vanished onto the road. I had no clue what direction they'd gone in. No more hints or clues to chase. El was still out there. A new day had replaced the night, and I was fucking raging at the thought of her still with him.
He's not at the cabin?
I ground my teeth. He was. His Porsche's here, but they're not. He had another car. They're still missing. Steve cursed, something I didn't catch.
I don't know what else to tell you.
Tell me something helpful. Tell me you know your son. Hotels he prefers, locations he likes. Steve paused, then rushed.
I know he was thinking of buying a fishing lodge. I don't think he did, but then again, I had no clue he had another car up at the cabin.
His voice turned despondent.
This entire fiasco is showing how little I know about my own flesh and blood.
Another man came on the phone. A man I remembered vividly for multiple reasons, and he remembered me.
Everett, David speaking. El's bodyguard.
I know who you are. I remember the night we first met when your judgment stole all my joy at being with El and reminded me I was scum who doesn't deserve her.
I'm driving Mr. Charleston and Mr. Hobson to the cabin. Wait there, and we'll track them down together. I'll do some digging with my contacts and see if there are any other assets under his name.
Contacts. Digging. Of course. I had someone better to call. Urgency to hang up on such a pointless conversation made me snarl. Come here. I can't stop you, but I won't be here when you arrive. I'll find her on my own. I hung up, not caring I'd given El's father shitloads of reasons why he should ban his daughter from ever seeing me again. If she ever let me in the same room as her, of course. But I didn't care about family dynamics and winning favors. All I cared about was finding Elle and making sure she was safe. If she tried to kill me after I told her who I was, then I would accept that. At least she would be back home where she belonged. My chest tightened at the future conversation we would have. The explanation about why I had her necklace, why I'd done what I had that night in the alley, and why I'd tracked her down, thanks to her ID card, and taken things she wasn't ready to give. But first, I had to find her. My fingers shook as I punched a well-used number into my phone. He answered on the first ring. The man who I'd turned to for everything. The man I called my father and friend.
Larry speaking.
You still have that meerkat in your zoo? First thing Larry had taught me. People were always listening. The higher in society you climbed, the bigger your bank account grew, the more people eavesdropped on every part of your life. Meerkat was code for cops, and zoo was code for payroll. Larry was a lawyer, and a damn fine one. But it didn't mean he didn't use extra tools when it suited him. All in the name of defending the innocent, of course. The same method had helped free me. Revealing what I'd sworn under oath to be true, even when the jury didn't believe me. Even when I'd been thrown away to rot in a cell for something I didn't do.
Yes, my zoo is always full.
Great, I need some apples. Stupid code for information. We need to change that one.
Name it.
You know the animal in question. I need a bucket monitoring for any large refills in the last few years. Track down his zookeeper and any cage cleaners. See if he's left his comfy pen and suddenly taken a liking to the wild or has any other nests tucked away. Got it? I hope he did, because my mind hurt remembering how to vaguely insinuate he look up Greg's credit card statements, bucket monitoring, for any out-of-place shopping sprees such as cars or rentals, and to research his mortgage documents, zookeepers, or line of credits, cage cleaners, for hotel statements or house purchases. If Greg had planned this, something damning would appear. It always does.
Consider the reports in progress.
Larry cleared his throat.
He's still got her, but...
I knew he wanted to reassure me, but I didn't have time. He might for now. I crunched the phone tight in my hands. But not for much longer.
Give me 20. I'll call you back.
I hung up. Gritting my teeth against the cuts on my feet and the seizing of bruised joints from the beating, I jogged through the forest and up the driveway to my Merce. The minute Larry called with new information, I would find her. And this time, I wouldn't fail.
Chapter 9. L. Cooking in chains wasn't something I was used to. It was awkward, heavy, and I positively hated the clinking as I shuffled toward the pantry and grabbed ingredients for a simple tangela teal with basil pesto and parmesan. I had to hand it to my prison guard. He'd brought flavorful things that were easy to turn from separate food groups into a main course. Normally, I wouldn't obey him out of principle. No matter, he kept twirling the knife with a gleam in his eyes, as if daring me to speak out. But normally, I wasn't starving. My stomach constantly grumbled, empty and ready to eat. I told myself this meal was for me, and my unfortunate companion would have the leftovers. Greg sat on the counter, occasionally kicking his leg out to prevent me from moving past, stroking my shoulder and tucking a blonde strand behind my ear.
You ever think about giving up the corporate world and becoming a stay-at-home mom?
His touch dropped to my breast, squeezing it before I could swat him and continue to the sink to drop the cooked pasta into a colander to drain. His touch made my heart quake, but I had to remind myself he was just a man. My flesh was just a body. It was repairable. Yes, he'd violate every commandment by taking me forcibly, but I couldn't focus on that yet. Only when it happens. I hated that my mind had accepted when, not if. No, I've been too busy with Bell-El. The hot water splashed from the pan down the drain. Besides, I'm still young. I want to see the world first. I want to explore and be reckless and fall in love. My insides nodded. Pen, could I have fallen in love with him if he hadn't lied? Could I have given up the idea of Nameless to find happiness? No, I would never know because I'd never see either Pen or Nameless again.
You should. Domestic chores suit you.
That's such a sexist thing to say.
No, sexist would be that house chores suit all women.
He smirked.
I just said you.
I rolled my eyes and returned the now-drained pasta to the pot, where I added sautéed mushrooms, parmesan, and pesto to stir through and warm. I found comfort in cooking. The method hadn't changed, even if my circumstances had. The recipe still worked even if I was chained in a nightgown, waiting to be raped and my business stolen.
Fuck, watching you cook for me makes me hard.
Greg grabbed his erection.
See what you do to me?
I had no desire to look. It makes me sick.
That's because you're still brainwashed by that bastard Everett.
Goosebumps erupted on my skin. I didn't know if it was Penn's domination over my body and the lust I still felt, no matter I wanted to murder him, or the belief that, in some strange way, he would save me even if he was a criminal. Don't be so ridiculous. I didn't reply, focusing intently on folding in the pesto sauce. Greg huffed, pushing off from the counter to grab the chain around my wrists and pulled me forward.
Come with me.
What? But I'm not finished.
Doesn't matter. 2 minutes won't hurt it.
I had no choice as he pulled me from the kitchen and down the small hallway to the bedroom we'd shared. The bedclothes were tangled, my underwear still on the floor from where he'd kicked them from the bathroom. He let me go, stepping over the chain wrapped around my ankle. That now snaked down the hallway back the way we traveled, to open the wardrobe door. Hanging inside were an array of lingerie and negligees, all completely impractical for making an escape. No shoes, only stockings. No jackets, only bras. I sighed heavily, fighting depression and tiredness. The strange role play helped delete some of the immediate worry I had about my situation. Cooking in chains. It was odd, but at least I wasn't being hurt. Being washed and cuddled in bed. Awful on many levels, but still not pushing the boundaries into horror. What is he doing? Why is he dragging this out? Not knowing was the worst part. I didn't know when he'd pounce. When he'd demand me to open my legs and let him have me. I didn't know how much longer I could stay alert and constantly ready to fight. Eventually I would tire. I would sleep. And then I'd be at his mercy. Greg pulled out a small turquoise bag with Tiffany's logo. Oh no. My heart scrambled into my throat as he placed the bag into my hands.
Open it.
I backed away, tossing the offending gift onto the bed. I didn't need to open it to know what was in there. I don't want it. His jaw clenched as he scooped up the bag, tossed the ring box into his palm, and cracked it open.
Yes, you fucking do, Al.
Plucking the 1-carat diamond from the plush box, he grabbed my left hand and jammed the ring onto my engagement finger. It fit perfectly. Of course. Instantly, I wanted to get it off. I'd cut off my own finger to be free of it.
You're going to marry me, Al. You're going to change your last name to Hobson. Bell-El will be mine.
He slithered his arms around my waist, tucking me against him.
You're going to give me a daughter or son, so our families will forever be joined, and Bell-El will always be mine by right. And then, once you've given me everything I want, I'll let you divorce me.
His teeth flashed as he chuckled.
But only with a hefty settlement for being the best husband ever. We'll spread a rumor that you cheated, and the sympathy vote will ensure everyone will be on my side while you fade into obscurity.
He captured my chin, kissing me quick.
Or you could stay married and be my dutiful wife and share in everything I give you.
I wanted to disinfect my mouth, tear out my tongue, and zip up my lips so he could never kiss me again. But then I wouldn't be able to tell him what I thought about his ludicrous, monstrous plan. I laughed in his face, shaking with rage. Do you believe in fairies, Greg? Because you have to if you think that will ever come true. I shoved him away, swelling with pride as he stumbled. 10 million is all you'll get out of me, and that offer is only valid for the next 5 minutes. I don't even know why I'm offering that. I shrugged, waving the damn chain between my arms. Who knows? Perhaps I still see Greg who helped me pick the right bike when I was 8, or the Greg who helped me move into my apartment. Stomping toward him, I stabbed my finger into his chest. 10 million for the past we share and not a penny more. I'm not marrying you. I'm definitely not bearing your children. In no way in hell are you getting Belle L. I wanted to tear the ring off, but he clamped his hand over mine.
You remove that diamond, and I'll hurt you.
His threat wasn't idle. It reeked with cold-hearted promise. I gulped, letting him pull my fingers away, leaving the ring ensnaring me. Then, as if he hadn't just petrified me, he cut between my legs, his fingers bruising me.
Are you sure I won't get Belle L? Are you sure I won't get exactly what I want? That I won't get to fuck you, keep you, steal everything from you? Because it feels like I'm winning.
Hitting his arm, I scooted backward. My toes landed on the chain, making me wince. Get away from me. He walked with me, his fingers never loosening, curling tighter around my core beneath the stupid negligee. He didn't let go as I scratched his wrist, tugging for him to let me go. I rappelled backward so fast, I slammed into the wall, giving him the perfect purchase to slap his free hand onto the upright surface by my head and press a finger inside me. I shuddered in grotesque denial. It was dry. It hurt. It was brutal rather than blissful. My mind shattered, begging for Penn and the wizardry of his touch. He made me wet even while he confused me with his stories. He made me come even while I denied how much I liked him. Penn was a master manipulator. Greg was just the devil. I wanted him out of my life and far away from me. I want him dead. I shoved him, the chains around my wrists clinking loudly. He grabbed the metal, hoisting it up, giving my arms no way to disobey before being yanked upright and pinned against the wall.
This, L, your fucking pussy is mine.
His voice became thick and cruel.
I'm going to have you. I'm going to fuck you. I've waited as long as I can. You wear my ring. You've slept in my bed. I've washed you in my shower. You no longer belong to him, but me. Get it?
His finger hooked inside, his nail scraping delicate flesh.
I'm going to fuck you the minute lunch is finished.
Withdrawing his touch, he let me go and pointed at the kitchen.
Now get in there and finish making me food, like a good little wife.
Chapter 10. Penn. The Merce's engine snarled as I pressed the accelerator as far to the floor as possible. 32 minutes, and Larry still hadn't called. But I didn't care. I had to stay on the move. Otherwise, I'd fucking take my rage out on an innocent tree and end up hurting myself in the process. And I was hurt enough. I didn't know if I was going in the right direction or wrong. I had no clue if Elle was still safe or if Greg had done something unfucking forgivable. All I had was the hope I'd be on time. Tearing down a country road, I jumped as my phone ringtone split the air. Answering with hands free, I grunted, "Where am I going, Larry?"
"Cherry Cove, Medina."
"Hotel or private house?"
"Fishing chalet."
"His?"
"Not sure. Couldn't find any records of him buying another property."
"How do you know she's there, then?"
"He bought another car, under a friend's name, but he helped secure the finance. The Dodge Charger is equipped with anti-theft GPS. I had someone who owed me a favor switch it on. The car is outside the address I've sent to your inbox. I used Google Maps to see what sort of abode it was.
Your sleuthing never fails to impress me. Larry's voice hid a smile.
You can tell me how great I am later. Get her back, Pen, and then you're fixing this. You're telling that poor girl everything. You're going to be honest.
I bared my teeth, but nodded reluctantly, knowing she'd never want to see me again. Fine. I pressed end, downshifted, and grinned at the growling engine as I cannon fired after Greg. According to my GPS, I was just over an hour away, a mere hour until Elle was mine again, and then all my lies would be revealed, but at least she would be safe. I would be fucking heartbroken, but she would be back where she belonged, without me in her world.
Chapter 11. Elle. The pasta sat like glue in my stomach. I'd eaten because I was hungry, but the much-loathed company made nutrition unwanted by my body. Greg slurped the tagliatelle, swiping at globs of pesto sauce that splashed against his cheeks. He grinned as he swirled more pasta onto his fork.
You really are a good cook, Elle.
You're lucky I didn't poison you. He chuckled.
There's nothing here to poison me with.
He took another bite, eating with his mouth full. Steve would swat him if he saw. He'd been trying to break him of that habit since Greg was little.
No bleach, no cleaning products, nothing that can harm.
I reached for my water glass, hating how the links clinked over the table and threatened to slide through my lunch. Hoisting my other wrist, I balanced the foot of chain above the plate and awkwardly took a drink. Greg never took his eyes off me. Bastard. I glanced out the window at the sparkling lake and sunshine. If I were here with any other person, it would be the perfect vacation away from working so hard. A vacation I'd never had. I would walk around the lake, have a picnic, read a book beneath a tree, and then come back and make love to whoever had brought me here. Pen. You would have made love to Pen. I shut down my thoughts. I didn't want him in my head. He wasn't allowed or permitted inside my mind anymore. 24 hours ago, I would have given him the benefit of the doubt and listened to what he had to say. That was before the necklace. Now I would tell him to go away, no matter what explanations he formed. Greg finished his last mouthful, smacking his lips and pushing the plate away. He nodded in appreciation.
Best lunch I've had in a while.
You obviously don't get out much, then.
I work for you.
His eyes narrowed.
I normally work through my lunch break because you expect so much from your staff.
I couldn't let him get away with that bullshit. Whatever, Greg. Your executive assistant does her job and yours combined. You're never in your office. You're always off-site. His lips tightened. What? You think I don't notice? That I don't keep an eye on my employees? I dragged out the word, enjoying the way he shifted full of annoyance in his chair. It's my company. Of course, I'm aware of who's doing a good job and who isn't. And I hate to say it, but you've never done a good job. Even from the first day Steve asked Dad to give you that position. You've taken your salary and done nothing for it. I wiped my mouth with my napkin, no longer hungry. In fact, I've been claiming your salary as a charity donation on our tax returns. Because I have to pay your executive assistant twice her normal wage so she doesn't walk out and leave your department in shambles. His mouth hung open.
You truly are a bitch.
And you're just a bastard. Guess we're even. He crossed his arms while I let the chain fall into my lap, the cuffs heavy around my wrists.
What a way to ruin a nice lunch, Noelle.
He stood, snatching his plate before storming to my side of the table and grabbing mine.
Does it make you feel good to think you're still so high and fucking mighty?
I didn't let his shadow looming over me intimidate me. I straightened my back, glowering directly into his eyes. First, it's Al. I never have and never will like Noel. And second, yes, it does make me feel good to point out your flaws and show you that whatever this is... I flashed the engagement ring sparkling on my finger. The same ring I tried to pull off for the second time, only to earn a slap so hard. I suspected his handprint still glowed on my cheek. Is a sham. Furious tears and racing heartbeats wobbled my words. You're just like him. You force an engagement on me and expect me to go along with it. I laughed with disbelief. I was such an idiot where Penn was concerned. I should have stood up to him more. Should have dug into his background sooner. But I didn't because beneath his lies, I actually liked the glimpses of normalcy. I sneered at Greg. But when I look at you, all I see is rotten greed. All I smell is hunger for things you haven't earned and never will. His hands curled just before his fist connected. It crunched against my cheekbone, layering upon the last punch. No doubt turning the faint grayness under my eye into a full-on black spot. My head snapped to the side, my chin lolling on my chest as my arms shot out to grip the table. I teetered on the edge, only a fraction away from falling out of the chair and puddling at his feet. I'd known it would come to this, yet I couldn't help myself. I had to tell him off like a silly little child, because that was what he was. A child. An ignorant little boy who needed a good spanking.
That's the last time you'll ever talk to me like that.
His breath smacked my hair with fury.
Hear me?
I blinked and dared to shake my head a little. The world righted itself. The pain dimmed. I sat firmer in the chair, planting my elbows on the table and cradling my head. The chain and cuffs hindered me as I hid behind a curtain of tangled hair and pressed exploratory fingers to my puffy, hot cheek. Ouch. God, it hurt. My tears were from physical pain instead of emotional frustration this time. I didn't bother to stop them, as they splashed sadly against the tabletop where my lunch had been. Greg stomped into the kitchen and tossed the plates into the sink. China cracked with a loud splinter, but he didn't care. Marching back toward me, he hoisted me to my feet with biting fingers around my elbow.
You want to fight, Al? Fucking fine. We'll fight.
Dragging me into the living room, he pointed at the hallway.
Choose, right now, bed or couch.
I squinted, doing my best to ignore the pain throbbing in my head. What?
Bed or couch.
I don't know what that means. He pressed his nose against mine.
I'm going to fuck you. Would you prefer over the couch like a whore or in the bed like my fiancé?
Everything went black and cold. So, so cold. I squirmed in his hold, stepping backward. The cuff around my ankle jingled and I stepped on the chain looped behind me for the 37th time, hurting yet another piece of me. Greg, stop. I don't want either.
Too fucking bad. You need to learn your place. You're no longer my boss or the CEO, Al.
His voice lowered to a hiss.
I am.
Grabbing a handful of my hair, he threw me onto the plaid couch. The scratchy material stuck to my golden negligee like Velcro as I scooted sideways, trying to reach the other end and climb off. He grabbed the chain around my ankle, hoisting me back. The satin rose up my hips, exposing between my legs. His eyes latched on greedily before I slammed a hand over myself with as much decency as I could muster. Don't touch me.
I'm going to do more than that.
I'll scream. He smirked.
No one to hear you.
I'll kill you.
I'd like to see you try.
My fury turned caustic, burning me up inside. I shook so hard my teeth chattered. He leered over me, keeping his hold on the chain, giving me nowhere to go. Bending down, he grabbed me by the throat, pinning my body against the couch. My legs stayed tight and crossed, hand wedged low.
Kiss me. Show me that you can be nice and I'll be gentle our first time.
I spat in his face. Wrong move. Seriously wrong move. But it was the only move I had because I couldn't kiss him. I could never give anything of me willingly because the hate I had would transfer into hatred for myself. Time slowed down. His hand came up, rubbing up the bead of saliva I'd put there. Never looking away from me, he wiped his hand on his jeans, shaking his head.
You'll pay for that.
His face turned nasty, his fingers grabbing my elbows and plucking me from the couch as if I weighed nothing. No! I pummeled his chest as he hauled me against him, marching me backward until my legs pressed against the couch end.
Yes.
Spinning me around, he pressed me over the rolled armrest, running his hands down my spine to my ass.
Get ready to be nice to me, Elle, 'cause I'm sure as shit not going to be nice to you.
Chapter 12. Pen. This cabin had lake views, not forest. This cabin had a Dodge, not a Porsche. This cabin held L, not empty. This place ricocheted with a scream, not silence. Fuck. I cursed that I had left my Merce at the top of the driveway again, hoping for the element of surprise. I'd taken my time sneaking through the bushes and shadows, staying out of sight. The occasional smell of cooking had carried on the breeze the closer I got. The electrical tingle of being close to L revved me the nearer I sneaked. But that was before the scream. Forgetting stealth, I bolted forward from gloomy undergrowth to gleaming daylight. All instincts told me to barrel through the front door and tear Greg fucking apart. But the sensible part of me, the part that kept me alive for decades on the streets, whispered, patience. What if he had a knife to her throat? What if he had a gun ready to kill me? I had to know where they were, what they were doing. Then I could win. Ducking, I snuck around the perimeter of the house. My ears strained for another scream, but nothing came. Ice water splashed my spine. No scream could be good. Could be bad. I couldn't see inside the dim interior with the bright sunshine beating on my head. I ran through the small garden with baby saplings swaying in the breeze and approached the side of the house where a bathroom window cracked to allow shower steam to dissipate. No movement down the back of the cabin. Pressing against the siding, I made my way back to the front where the living room and kitchen would be. I kept my height beneath the window frames, listening for any hint of what room L was a prisoner in. The sound of chains dragging on hard wood screeched in my ears from a cracked window. He's chained her up. That motherfucker. He'd pay for this. Over and over, he'd pay. He had his motherfucking hands on her. Soon, I'd have mine on him. Sounds of raised voices filtered through the afternoon, garbled and cut short as something thumped, and then couch legs squeaked over floorboards. I couldn't stop myself. I stood upright, keeping my body low, but my eyes above the trim. Peering through the glass, my heart fucking stopped. Greg had L pinned over the edge of the couch, chains on her wrists and ankle, a gold nightdress shoved over her hips, exposing her nakedness below. I thought seeing her vulnerable with half-torn clothes in the alley 3 years ago was enough for me to turn rogue. This was enough for me to commit fucking murder.
Chapter 13. L. I screamed. How could I not? When a man you'd just eaten lunch with, grew up with, someone you watched turn from boy to grown-up suddenly takes away all control and prepares to rape you. All common sense, conversation skills, and bartering flies out of comprehension. I gave up pain and precaution. I felt nothing but wildness and terror. Stop! I kicked. I wiggled. I clawed at the couch.
All it takes is for you to be nice to me, Al, and this can go so much better for you.
The promise whispered in my head to do something, to be generous with the compliments if it meant he wouldn't hurt me, but I physically gagged on such blasphemy. He stroked my back, running his fingers over my naked hips as he wedged his jean-clad cock against me. He didn't move to unzip, but it didn't stop his hardness from sending disgust gushing through my blood. A shadow fell over the door for the briefest second, wrenching my eyes to the window where sun spilled upon my ruin. Perhaps a fellow vacation maker had come to borrow a cup of sugar. Maybe a fisherman needed to dig in the garden for some worm bait. Hopefully some good Samaritan was here to save me. I opened my mouth to scream again, but Greg slammed his sweaty palm over my lips.
"Be nice, and we go into the bedroom."
He fumbled with his belt with his other hand.
"Don't, and you're mine right here."
My heart atrophied at the sounds of leather unbuckling. I'm running out of time. Do something. Think. Kick. Bite. Bite. Scream. Anything. The shadow came again, quick and fleeting, but I caught what made it this time. The barest glimpse of an angel come to free me. I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't a fisherman or a bird or even a confused bear out for a stroll. It was so much better. So much worse. My heart grew wings even as heavy tar coated it. Greg undid his jeans. The sensation of denim switched to bare male flesh. I moaned behind his palm, tossing my head. The figure in the window appeared again, this time closer to the front door. His tousled dark hair scattered stencils on the floor. Him, the liar, the alley abuser, the man I had feelings for despite everything. He ducked again. Did he know I'd seen him? Did he know I was grateful? What would he do? How had he found me, and not David or Dad? My questions evaporated as Greg's hard cock lined up with my ass. He shuddered, his hands clenching around my mouth while his other yanked my hips into him. He was moments away from taking me, so I did the only thing I could. I chose survival over pride. I decided to lie just like Penn. Letting my body go loose, I forced my ass against him, rubbing his erection, deliberately arching my back as if being fucked by him was exactly what I wanted. My body hated me. My heart cursed me. And my lips didn't know how to form the falsehoods I was about to spill. His hand tumbled from my mouth in shock, giving me freedom to speak. Greg. My sultry moan made my skin scratch itself with knives. You're right. I rocked into him, making him groan and finger spasm. So sorry. He froze, his thighs twitching against the back of mine.
What did you just say?
I kept my voice slow and decadent, like chocolate and liquor and rich, rich coffee. I said you're right. I should be nicer to you. I rolled my hips, dragging a revolting pant from him and a coil of nausea from me. If you let me stand and face you, I'll show you just how nice I can be. My tongue burned with lies. My throat slashed with fibs. Was this how Penn felt every time he talked to me? Greg nudged me with his hips, keeping me pinned against the couch.
Why should I trust you? You've been nothing but a bitch since we got here.
I jingled the chain around my wrists. I'm yours, remember? I'm not going anywhere. I let my body go completely submissive. It's time I listened to what you're offering, rather than destroy what we could have together without giving it a chance. Lies, lies, lies. I wanted to vomit with lies. I wanted to wash away the lies. I wanted to bleach the lies. Greg slowly relaxed. He stepped back, giving me room to stand. I took one last look at the window. A slight shadow appeared closer to the door. Penn was many things, but I trusted him to help me. He'd come for me in his car that night. He'd fought for me in the club at the beginning. He would get me free, and then I'd politely thank him and walk away. All I needed to do was keep Greg distracted enough, so it was an ambush rather than a full-on fight. I didn't need more complications in my life by turning this abduction into death or bloodshed. Regardless of what Greg had done, the law would deal with him, not vigilante justice. Standing upright, I pushed the negligee down my hips for coverage and turned to face him. The only problem was he had a full view of the door where Penn would most likely come in. I have to change that. Placing my hand on Greg's chest, I disguised my shuddering fingers with a breathy laugh. You know, I agree with something else you said, too. His eyes widened, then narrowed with suspicion.
Agree with me? That will be a first.
I nodded, licking my lips, taking a step to the left, doing my best to ignore the sound of the chain dragging on the floor behind me. Bel-El could be ours. Another step guiding his attention from the door. You and me. He followed, trying to sniff out my agenda.
What do you mean?
I mean if you'd work harder once Bel-El was yours, then perhaps that's an option. He smirked coldly.
And why should I believe this sudden change of heart?
Another step. Three quarters turned from the door. He swiveled to follow me with every footfall I took. Can't I change my mind?
You can, but it's odd you change it now.
His hand cut my cheek, running his thumb over the bruise he'd given me.
Strange that you turn cooperative just before I show you how good we are together.
I swallowed bile as I stroked my finger down his chest, drawing a circle around his open belt buckle. You scared me. But if you're nice to me, like you promised, I can be nice to you. The sexual reference scalded my tongue, but Greg's eyes glowed.
Oh yeah? How nice are we talking?
Another step and his back was toward the exit. Over his shoulder, I hid my victory smirk as the door cracked open with a sliver of warm sunshine. Penn's livid gaze locked on mine. I looked away, staying in character and not giving in to the crazed patter of my heart. He was bloody and broken, smeared with rust and torn on the shoulder, but he still wore his white shirt and silver trousers from the charity gala. He moved silently but with a stiffness that wasn't there before. What the hell happened to him? Doesn't matter. Keep going. Keep Greg distracted. I moved closer to my enemy, tugging his belt, sliding it through his jean loops. I can be very, very nice. I fluttered my eyelashes. I've grown up a lot in the past month. I know how to please. Penn moved closer. I daren't glance up. I couldn't afford to see how angry he was at my flirting or how angry I was at his fibs. We were furious with each other. Good. Fury is better than lust.
That right?
Greg's hand landed on my shoulder, squeezing, adding downward pressure, just like Penn did when he taught me a lesson and ordered me to suck him in my office. I couldn't be on my knees. I had to watch Penn behind Greg's back, so I could get out of the way at the right time. I giggled. I never giggled. But I amped up the flirt to terrible levels. How about we discuss the terms first, and then I'm nice to you?
You already know the terms.
He grabbed my hand, spinning the engagement ring on my finger.
This means you're mine. Everything you own is mine. That's the deal, Al.
And my body? Is that yours, too? He looked down at my breasts with a hungry glare.
Fuck yes, it is.
Nausea splashed my stomach as I stroked his chest, moving back up his body away from the hardness in his pants. And your body? Is that mine in return? He licked his lips.
It is if you want it.
I dared looked over his shoulder, as Penn slowly slinked from the doorway into the living room. His eyes met mine again, narrowed and dark and full of murder. His fists clenched with no other weapon but his hate. He was utterly sublime, and totally terrifying. My skin shivered with a mixture of frustration and appreciation. I'd felt something for him. I could have been happy with him. But the truth shattered that. I was glad he was here, and this situation warranted gratitude. But after that, I never want to see him again. Tearing my eyes back to Greg, I counted the seconds until I could stop this pantomime and let Penn incapacitate him. Placing my hand over Greg's heart, the chain around my wrist dangled, nudging his erection with morbid jewelry. Yes, I want it. He wrapped his arms around my waist, wedging himself against me.
In that case, be a good girl and get in the bedroom. I'll make it good for you if you make it good for me. That's all I ever wanted, Al.
I giggled again, even though I wanted to strangle him. Okay. Penn sneaked forward, his eyes darting between me and Greg's arms and his feet on the floorboards, searching for squeaky spots.
Let's go.
Greg moved forward, his head turned toward the kitchen. If his peripheral was any good, he'd see Penn and all my lying and touching would have been for nothing. Wait! I grabbed his face, holding his gaze with mine. Don't go. Not yet. His eyebrows knitted together, dark blonde hair cascading over his forehead.
Why the fuck not?